In the wake of the countless deaths of black men, women, and children in America, around the world, protesters have provoked unprecedented levels of global unification.
Black lives matter! Black lives matter! Black lives matter! Black lives matter!
At last, men, women, and children of all races are standing together. They are unified by their collective vision for a better future for all of our children and grandchildren.
I want you to know I hear you, I see you, I believe you, and I am sorry.
These are some more of the sounds of 2020. The year of the great pandemic is also, as I contend in the previous episode, the year of some developments that signal some new attempts at coming to grips with another pandemic, the 400-year-old deliberately designed and perpetuated affliction of racism. I am always looking for signs of hope, for signs that things that need to change might actually be starting to be changed. So today, in the final regular fresh episode of this awful year 2020, I want to point to just a very few signs that some things just might change. I'm Paul Cross. This is Crosstalk, Media History, Commentary, and Analysis, Season 5, Episode 7. The news this year has been full of reporting of what's wrong, the heartbreaking, maddening, unfathomable cases of fatal racism. Talk, which has thrived on radio for decades and has replaced what used to be news analysis and discussion on what were once news channels on what we used to call TV, has also given much more time, more emphasis, more empathy than it previously gave. From a mass media perspective, there is no longer any question. Systemic racism is real. Black people, indigenous people, and other people of color are harmed by it. White people benefit from it every day. But if the growing list of racist acts is increasingly being covered, reported, discussed, what about the reporting of attempts to make change? In Kentucky, where none of the police officers who fired their guns while breaking into Breonna Taylor's apartment in the dead of night is facing any charge related to shooting and killing her, one possible change could come. Attorney General Daniel Cameron, a black man put in the position of arguing he could find no point in law to let him charge any cop with killing Breonna Taylor, announces at the same time he's setting up a group to talk about the very law that put those police at her door and let them kick it in and break into her home without being required to identify themselves as police. Maybe the no-knock warrant should be scrapped. In Buffalo, New York, just about a 90-minute drive from Toronto, where Mayor Byron Brown, a black man, found himself standing with the local Italian-American community to talk about removing a statue of Christopher Columbus so it could be preserved and not torn down, the city announced just a few weeks later it was looking into less lethal methods of apprehending people experiencing distress. It's a familiar crisis in Toronto and nearby Peel region. Racialized people calling police for help for a family member in crisis, only to result in the death of that family member who needed help. What's so lacking in so many cases in Canada is leadership. People in high office, elected, appointed, or self-created, are largely missing from the campaign for understanding and change. So let's spend a little time here on two cases that are exceptions. It didn't get much play in other parts of the country, certainly was not made a big deal in Toronto. But in late September, the Premier of Nova Scotia came out with an apology and what he calls a restorative process to transform policing and public safety. Stephen McNeil wants to apply concepts of restorative justice for what he knows has been racist practice in his province.
To members of our black community, our indigenous communities, and to our most vulnerable and marginalized, who have also been let down by this system because of the issues around poverty, mental health, gender, and gender identity, your wisdom and lived experience matter.
Something I find really interesting in McNeil's words is in one of his tweets that day, September 29th. I rarely quote, but here are his words. The Black Lives Matter movement has brought to the forefront the systemic failures of our current reliance on policing and law enforcement, and the mistreatment of our Black and Indigenous communities, and the most vulnerable and marginalized. It's time for fundamental change. That should have been big news in every community in Canada. And finally for today, this. The Canadian Senate, the so-called upper chamber of Canada's parliament, has been discussing setting up a special committee on systemic racism. Not that it has not received dozens of official reports about racism, but now some senators are speaking as if there is some urgency. I could not turn away when Senate debate came up on the Parliamentary Access Channel one day this fall, and Senator Mobina Jaffer is on her feet. Senator Jaffer is the first Muslim woman appointed to the Senate. She is the first woman of South Asian background to become a lawyer in her province, British Columbia. She knows racism.
As our colleague Senator Pate has worked tirelessly to highlight, the disproportionate numbers of Black, Indigenous, and Muslim people are in our jails and prisons. This commonly begins with the routine encounters with state authorities, which often result in a person being institutionalized or having their rights and freedoms removed simply by virtue of their unchangeable identity.
Jaffer gets very personal in her speech in the Senate, talks about the Law Society refusing to let her apply, about judges assuming she was the defendant, about her fears that all parents of racialized children share. And she shares that vulnerability in front of a changing but still largely male, white Senate.
Later on in life, what my mother taught me has stayed with me. To have real harmony in our country, you have to have both Black and white people participate. Honorable Senators, I stand in front of you because many people removed barriers for me. Over the years, I have had a lot of help. Sadly, many racialized people are not as lucky as I am. And so I stand in front of you and say that we as legislators should look at ways in which a legislation is supportive of all people in Canada and does not raise further barriers.
You won't find coverage of Senator Mobina Jaffer's speech from any mainstream news organization. I will tell you that as she sits down after that moment, she dries her eyes. Of course, again today, I cannot do justice to the issues we need to be more open about, to the discussions we need to have at every level. They have to be led now by the people who benefit from the systemic racism that has been deliberately built in to our societies. I'm really just starting. But if you're still with me right now, it's a start. This is Crosstalk. I'm Paul Cross. I study and I teach podcasting and radio.